Good afternoon, friends. This is Carolyn Evers and my co-host, Carolyn Allen. How are you doing, Caroline?
Well, I'm here.
But you're not all there with your cold and all.
No, I've got bronchitis, and so I'm doing an awful lot of wheezing and coughing, and I can't talk very much, so I won't be taking any healing phone calls this afternoon because I really can't talk, but just in a little short burst, and if I start a coughing spell, I'll hit the mute button, and you won't hear from me until it's over.
Well, we'll just let you come on board and just keep me in line.
Okay, that sounds good.
To all of our dear friends who are listening, one of the things that we wanted to do today is talk about your angels, and hopefully, I know Caroline said I can't use that word hopefully, so we're going to scratch that. We're going to connect you with your angels.
Right.
And if you have questions and you want to ask your angels a particular question, we're going to work with your angels and you and get this information to you. So call in. Our phone number here is 877-876-5227. And if you are in Canada, that number is 888-810-8322. Now, I would like to say to you, dear friends, there is a reason why we are working with angels, your angels, my angels, Caroline's angels. We've been talking about angels for several of our last shows, and there is a reason for this. If you go to my website, carolynevers.com, you'll notice that there's a lot of books and information there, and I have to tell you that not only in those books, but other messages that I have been getting, we are constantly being told that we need to know how to go within. And so we are going to also, at a later date when Caroline's able to speak a little bit easier, we're going to be talking about another topic besides angels, and that is how to connect to the higher mind. I feel these two topics are of particular importance today because there's a lot going on in the world. We just recently had some devastating winds that just ran across central Florida. And I see this as the beginning, and perhaps Caroline does also, of earth changes. Pope John Paul and Viva Papa has talked about it. Caesar, in conversations with Caesar, has discussed the division of the dimensions and has spoken of this. Through all the material, all the books, they're basically giving us the same information. Now, let's suppose you don't believe any of this. Okay, you're a disbeliever. Don't believe any of it. All you've got to do is turn on the TV, see some of the ice sheet falling into the water, and if you do any research on El Nino, on ocean currents, you can start with how fresh water dropping into salt water, the changes that it makes in ocean currents. So even if you don't believe anything that is coming from the other side, you certainly can see that the weather is making some dramatic changes. And there is more talk today about global warming. Now, I'm not saying these things for people to be in fear. Caroline and I are here to talk about, really, well, what does one do about these things? And the most important thing, as I see it, is to work with your guidance, to go within, to be able to work with your own higher mind, which, as the cherubim tell us, is the entranceway or the point to our monad. So we have guidance from our own soul, from God. We can listen to our angels. We can invite them into our lives. And so when we make decisions, when we hear things that we feel upset us in some way, we need to go within, and we need to find these answers from God, from our higher mind, from our soul, and we need to listen, and we need to invite our angels, because they are here to serve. They see us in a whole different perspective. And so these are the things that we're going to be talking about. Let us not be in fear. Now, there's one other thing that all of these masters have been telling us in so many ways, is it is the consciousness of the human race that is going to determine what is in our future. So we need to be very certain of what we want in our future. We want peace. I was very impressed with Caroline today when I called her, and she told me how she prays for all the individuals in the Middle East and how she prays for them every day. And when Caroline is ready to jump in with some little phrase, I'll be quiet. I'm trying to take your place, darling.
I know you are. And I appreciate the fact that you're doing most of the talking. That's the way it's going to have to be today. One thing I said was I don't particularly, during the disturbances that we've had in my family for the last 8 weeks, 10 weeks, I guess, I haven't always had time to pray every day like I used to do when I was just here by myself and it was quiet and I could do that. So I haven't done nearly as much prayer work as I was doing. I was facing towards the east on my knees and lighting a candle and praying for God's love and light and peace to surround the auras of and the energy fields of all of the leaders of the Muslim community and the Christian communities within the countries of Afghanistan and Iraq particularly, and also bring in there Lebanon and Israel and Iran, and just say prayers for them. And I do a series of chants that are in Hebrew, and one of them is, "Let there be the unconditional love of God, and let there be the eternal peace of God." And I would visualize the people in the Middle East, terrorists, as well as leaders and mothers and children and grandfathers and grandmothers. I would just visualize all of those people and chant for them, for their peace and their and God's love to surround them.
Thank you, Caroline, for adding that. Now, since we're talking about angels, let's take a moment and let's discuss what an angel might look like. If we're going to suggest that you turn within, call them in, and talk to them, let's talk a little bit about what one might expect. There was only one time with me that I had a vision where I saw an angel, full body, that would look like you or I in flesh, with the closest thing to a solid feel of or appearance of a body. So that was right before the tsunami. And that was quite an extraordinary situation. It was a warning, and it was a request. And in my whole lifetime, it's only happened that way once. So the chances of us turning the corner and seeing a vision of an angel standing there with a fiery sword, looking like a human being, looking like you or I walking down the street. I mean, it can happen. I'm not saying it can't, but the chances are that it's not going to show up that way for you. So let's talk a little bit about the different ways that an angel might appear to one. Before I really started talking about angels and seeing angels, one of my first times of being aware that angels were there, I was in Sedona and saw several angels that, first, let me set this up a second. If you think about a campfire and it's blazing along pretty good and there's some flames in there, and there is a certain shape that campfire takes where it's bigger at the base and then comes up towards the top a little smaller. That was the shape that I'm talking about right now. I saw two shapes like that. It was two angels, and it was green. Now, why it was green, don't know, but maybe what I need to do is ask and find out what the green meant with regards to the energy of the angels. So that was my first experience. I've gone back trying to think about, because Caroline says, I said to her, oh, I don't see angels. And she says, you do. And then I started thinking about it, and yes, I remember that very distinctly. There were two angels there, and there was a reason why they were there, and it is because I had requested something. I was near a vortex that I was trying to find in Sedona, and I was walking on a trail, and I had a choice of trails, and these two angels came, and they stood there, and they pointed the way for me so that I could find this place. And it was very interesting because they took me right to it. So angels will come with many pictures, many certain ways. I've seen them in other ways. Now, I'm mentioning these things to you not to tell you how I see angels, but so you know when you're calling in angels that what to look for, to know that, you know, you really are being assisted by your angels. So it might be a shape which appears like energy. You might have an intuitive sense. In other words, you call in an angel, you're not necessarily seeing them as, oh, I see that doorway over there, or I see that desk, but you intuitively feel this angel. And I think perhaps many people out there who hear my voice feel and sense angels around them in this manner, but they're not certain that's an angel. And so that's why I mention this. We can pick up the angelic presence intuitively. Now, I have also had people on the other side come to me, and I have intuitively felt them, heard them, and I say to them, that's not enough. I want to see. I want to know that what I'm intuitively feeling is true. I want a sign, and what they will show me then is a particular sign for a particular person. And they'll show me that sign in the third eye. So if I sense somebody there, I ask who it is, and I close my eyes, look into the third eye, and if it is Caesar, for instance, he shows me his armor and his, I guess you might say ribbon of authority that is around his waist. He'll sometimes show me his helmet. So he'll show me, for the most part, the military uniform that he had. Archangel Michael, on the other hand, will show me usually his sword. and I will see him holding his sword. Sometimes I see blue light, sometimes I don't. So I'm only bringing this up to you because if you want to kind of have a little checkpoint on yourself and who you're working with, and you're not certain, you think, you feel, but you want to be a little bit more accurate with them, then ask for a sign. In your limited voice, anything you want to add to this, Caroline, or should I press one?
No, I think you're doing a great job, Carolyn. Press on.
Okay, you just sit back, drink your water, enjoy the ride.
Okay.
So, it always tickles me when Caroline gets into these descriptions of angels, and I just love it, what they might be wearing. Are you picking that up intuitively, Caroline, or are you actually seeing that in, like, a hard physical appearance?
I do both. I feel, and I also feel of them. I feel the presence of them. And then we'll usually see them, and they'll show themselves to me in different ways. For instance, if I'm looking for your angelic self, I'm going to see your angelic self as she would appear to you. And then if I'm, you know, if they're just like sometimes when I call on healing angels to come, and there's just kind of, I don't want to call them miscellaneous angel group, but, you know, they're just several different angels there. I'll see them sometimes as shapes, energy, but I also feel their energy. And very often I reach my hand out to them so they can touch my hand, and I can feel their energy coming into my body. And that tells me that they are really there.
I like that. I'm going to repeat that for people who are out there listening to this. It's the same idea that I had. If I want to know who I am feeling and who is with me, I'm asking for a picture in my third eye, which is a wonderful way to go. But I also like what you're doing too, Caroline. You're asking for them to touch your hand so that you can feel their energy. And I remember one time you talking about getting in the car. I just love that. Caroline tells the story about getting in the car, and when she goes to drive someplace, she wants her angels with her.
Absolutely. I want all of them on board. I don't want them outside of the car. I want them in the car with me, riding along. And I always get in the car and say a prayer for a safe trip, particularly if I'm going on a trip somewhere. And then I say, is everybody here? And I stick my hand out, my right hand out, and say, okay, everybody let me know you're here, and I'll feel these little touches of energy on my hand. And then I'll say, okay, guys, today we're not going to have any car problems. We're not going to get any tickets, and we're not going to have any accidents, and everybody's going to be able to see us. Thank you very much. We're ready to go.
You know, I like that attitude, Caroline, because basically what you're really saying here is to live more in greater awareness of people and events around you, instead of being caught up in your own world, to be a little bit more aware of what's happening. And I see so many people walking around with a phone growing out of their ear. They walk into restaurants, and they got this phone in their ear, and they're I don't know what's so interesting, but I was thinking, my golly, if a piano fell out of the second floor,
they wouldn't hear it coming, would they?
No, they wouldn't. So whether you're driving, whether you are walking, this is getting a little bit away from the angelic realm, but I think it's very important today that there is so much out there that we need to become aware of. And we want to attract into our lives those things that we surely resonate to. But if we're not listening to our inner guidance, or we're not making ourselves aware of what is around us, we can be drawn into a situation where maybe it was not necessary for us to participate with. Give us a call, 877-876-5227. Share with us perhaps some of your angel stories where they have taken care of you, where you have had some inner guidance from an angel, or where you know that angels were in your life working with you, or if you just want to call in and find a way to touch your angels, we will do that. And we are here to help you connect to your angels and find out what advice or assistance that they can give to you. Now, over the last couple shows, we talked about so many different kinds of angels. And I went to the cherubim in the center of the cosmos, and they had given us some really fascinating stories. I never realized that there were so many angels doing such different kinds of work, and it was just so fascinating. So I had a few minutes today, and I thought, well, I'm going to ask a couple more questions. And one of the questions that I had is, I asked the cherubim if our angels stay with us from the time of birth to the time that we transition. In other words, I wanted to know if we're working with the same angels all the time, or if we have different angels coming in and out of our circle of work that we're doing. And what they told me is that no, the same angels do not stay with us from birth to transition, except for the one that we call our guardian angel. That I'll just take a minute and tell you what they said about the guardian angel that I thought was really fascinating. That our guardian angel has been with us lifetime after lifetime on this earth. And the reason that they were given us, or that we were given this angel, is when we came into this dimension, is because our memory was cut. So when we're on the other side, our memory, I think we have somebody who's intrigued by the topic. Who has joined us?
Good afternoon. It's Julia. How are you?
Good afternoon, Julia. Where are you? Do you have snow and ice and all that neat stuff where you are?
We had it yesterday, but it's about all melted off today.
Good to hear it. Followed by extreme cold, perhaps.
Yeah.
That's what happened here. You go outdoors here, you got some real wind in your whiskers.
Oh, yeah, that wind is bad. It's like a little Arctic blast out there.
Oh, yeah. So, Julia, have you called in to tell us a story about your angels or to ask a question?
Well, I'm sorry to say I don't have an angel story, but I did have kind of something that was curious to me, and I thought maybe you two might be able to help me get some understanding. A few years ago, my mother had an experience, and she had, I think what she actually had was an NDE, and she came away with this knowing of her connection to God, and I had wondered about that. I wonder why it is that we seem to have an experience like that to really know it, you know, and not just like a, you know, I don't mean any disrespect, but blind faith. That it's almost like our system reboots or something, and for just that rebooting time, we get to really know, you know, what's behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
So I wondered, you know, what do the angels, or what do you know from your experiences?
Let's make sure we've got the question phrased so I know what point of view you're coming from. Now, your mom had the NDE, the near-death experience, and is your question basically you want to feel this connection to God without going through the process of an NDE? Is that what?
Yeah, you could say it like I mean, I personally would like to have that. I would like to have that knowing, not the thinking about it, wondering about it, you
mm-hmm.
know, just blind faith about it, but to really know. You know, like they say, I know down in my bones, kind of know.
Mm-hmm. I would say there's a couple things here, Julia. From my perspective, there is one, an emotional knowing. And what I mean by that is, see, I think there are several ways from my own point of view as how I know that there is a God and I believe that there is a God. And I would like to touch on one of them right now, and that is the emotional connection for me. I cannot explain the emotion. I can just tell you that when I am speaking to God there, and better yet, when God is speaking to me, there is an emotional connection. The only way that I can explain this is it is a feeling of bliss. It is not a feeling that one feels on this planet so much. It is an emotion that is hard to describe unless you have felt it. So from one point of view, and this is just one point of view, I would say that it is an emotional reaction of recognition. And what that emotional reaction is this overwhelming love. It is, I mean, we say that we love our spouses, our children, and we have so many people that we say that we love, and yes, we do. But when there is this connection to the God force, there is a state of love that is beyond all of that. At least that is for me. Now, I have to say that did not come all at once. It came in stages. Now, I remember as a very young child, I used to feel this when I would go into church. And I had been in there. There's no one around. I'm alone. And I am talking to God, and I am feeling this response. I remember feeling this as a young child. And one of the things that happens when, from my point of view, you know, you get involved in the world, and you kind of get away from that simplicity of speaking as a child. And now I've gotten back to that. I'm going to ask Caroline. We'll get back to other ways, but Caroline, do you have anything to comment on that emotional aspect?
No, I think describing it as bliss or joy in the awesome sense of both of those words and the force. And by that, I don't mean, maybe the better word would be the power of that love is so strong that you can't ignore it. You can't say it didn't occur. But I think one of the things Julia was also asking was, is there a way to have that experience without having a near-death experience? And I think the answer is obviously yes. There are many ways to have that experience without a near-death experience. But for some people, it's almost like God has to take a sledgehammer to get your attention. You know, he can be subtly trying to show you how to move in that direction for years. And then he's just kind of like, okay, she ain't getting it. Bam. And something happens that makes that connection. It's almost like instead of putting an extension cord into the outlet, it's kind of like he pulls the whole electrical current down on you. And bam, you're hit with some sort of experience that completely awakens you. And, you know, I think there are just many, many sort of subtle things that happen that make you move in that direction. And some people, it isn't a near-death experience. It might be a jolt of something being told to you about somebody who's in crisis, or it may be a time when you're in prayer and you've been praying for an answer to a particular question, and it just comes all of a sudden when you're ready for it to come. But I think some of that question's answered by the fact that sometimes we think we're ready before God knows we're ready. You know, we get impatient with waiting to have a particular experience, and when we're ready to have that experience, we will have it. And it doesn't have to be in a near-death experience.
Well, we went from emotions and we went to experiences, and I would like to comment on that because that was the next point that I was going to cover for you.
Okay.
Is there are times in your life, especially if you live long enough, there's times in your life when you know that something happened that was beyond the capability of human experience, that it went out of the realm of human experience, and you know something outside of that realm protected you in some way, watched over you in some fashion. Now, those events don't happen frequently in your life, but at some point there will be an event where there is no denying it. A person knows that there were spiritual forces at work that saw them through some activity or some crisis in their life. Did you ever feel that way, Julia, that there was something beyond human ability that took care of you?
I think I did. It was involving a vehicle,
mm-hmm.
one like four-wheeling, and we went down in, a quarry where the earth has been dug out?
Yes.
And we had gone over the side of one, and it was almost, perpendicular to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know I was scared to death because I was, one of those things that's like looking at a car going over the side of a shoebox and it's still attached to the shoebox, but it's going straight down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would think that would have been one of those cases for me.
It sounds like it, Julia.
That we didn't just drop and fall to the ground and kill,
Do you meditate?
Well, not on a regular basis. I do off and on.
Well, this is just a thought, Julia. And, just think about it and see if it might work for you. But sometime in a quiet moment, ask your, maybe your guardian angel, or ask God to show you that moment again. Not from the point of view of fear, because, hey, I'd be scared to death in a situation like that. I've been in some of them. Not just that one, but things similar. And there is such a rush of fear that you kind of want to forget that moment. You're safe, your feet are on solid ground, and yeah, you went through this, but let's not go there anymore. And I don't know if this would work for you, but I think if I were in that situation, I might meditate on it and ask God to show me that moment and to feel that moment when you were protected. You might even feel this sense of beautiful energy that is surrounding you. When you start feeling these things, I have had moments where I looked at situations like that and I asked that question, and I could feel this great sense of beautiful energy surrounding me that was sent to me from the higher dimensions that that helped me get out of that jam, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So if that were me and I wanted to find this connection with God, to know that God was really there, I might ask for the benefit of feeling that emotion of protection at that time. You got to get over your sense of fear, though. But see, you're on solid ground now. So I don't know if that would work for you, Julia, but that would be one place to start. And then I think another place would be to ask. Tell God that you are ready. If he would, he or she would, Mother, Father, God, would be willing to come forth in your life, and you want to participate in that companionship on a closer level. I think if you went to God with that request, I truly believe, Julia, that God would answer you very quickly, because I know that God wants to become closer to us. The same way as I know you see Archangel Michael has said the same thing to people. They want to become closer to us, but they can't until we go to them with an open arm. And I don't mean from the point of view of, you know, saying prayers necessarily from dogma, but with an open heart. Caroline, do you have something to add to that?
Well, we'll say, and I think I've said this before on this program, that my definition of prayer is when we talk to God. Meditation is when we listen to God. And most of us don't turn off the prayer long enough to listen to the answer. And one of the things that Jesus taught us to do when we pray is to say thank you for, let's say, thank you for showing me the light. Because when you say thank you, it's in the present. And when the tense that you use in your sentences is in the present, then you're not saying, you know, it's going to happen down the road, or it already happened. You say thank you. When I bless my food, I say thank you for blessing this food. And that makes the statement that I know that this food is blessed now. not that it will be, or that it was blessed before, but that it is now blessed. And that brings me to talking about prayer and meditation is something else that I've learned in the last 2 weeks. And this is totally off the, well, it didn't, and the angels just shook their heads and said, no, it's not. I always bless the food before I eat it. I bless it since I'm a preparer when I'm preparing it. And I was taking, and I'm still taking, a form of penicillin for my bronchitis, and I just didn't feel like it was working very well. And I thought, you know what? I'm not blessing the medicine. So I took the bottle in my hands and covered it with both of my hands and thanked God for blessing the medicine so that it would be efficacious for my body. And then I was getting ready to release it, and God said to me, and raise it to my vibration rate so that it is vibrating at the same rate that my body's vibrating. Hmm. And I said, oh, okay. I said, and thank you for raising the vibration rate of this medication to the same vibration rate as my body so that it works effectively in my body. And then I opened up my hands and looked at it, and it totally, I could see the energy field of that one tablet grow tremendously in my hands. And then I took the medicine, and once I started doing that, I do the whole bottle, but then I do each individual pill. It's making a big difference in the way I'm responding to the medication and the way my body's handling it. And I think that's it's one of, and talking about prayer, this applies to the angels as well. If we choose to have them in our lives, and if we choose to have a higher experience of God, we don't say, please bring this experience to me, because that's somewhere out in the future. That could be at any time. If what we choose to have is that experience now, then we need to say it in the present tense and say, thank you for bringing that experience to me now.
Very good point. Before Julia leaves, I would like for you, Caroline, if you would, to focus in on that very large angel that's standing next to her. Tune into it, dear. Patiently standing there, I might add, through your conversation.
Okay, what's the angel telling you, Carolyn?
I think that's her guardian angel.
Oh, most definitely it's her guardian angel.
Mm-hmm. Your guardian angel is putting their hand on your shoulder. And then it's showing me as the male attribute. He moved behind you. And this one is showing wings and is enveloping you inside of his wings. I'm not getting words. He's not speaking to me. But what he is showing me, and I am picking up intuitively, he was with you when you were in that car. And even though you didn't ask him, he served. He's taken his hand now and put it on the top of your head and says, and this he is saying, he is with you always. Call on him. And if you wish for him to take you to the seat of God, and he's showing me, leading you by the hand, that he will take you there. Do you have anything to add to that, Caroline?
No. One of the reasons why he's appeared this way is because, Julia, you tend to feel things. You don't always see with your third eye or hear. But you use your intuition's usually right on, and you feel things. So he's showing you what it feels like, so you'll recognize what it feels like to be surrounded with angelic love.
You wish to add anything to that, Julia?
Oh, I'm sorry. I kind of got caught up in the emotion of it for...
Oh, I'm so happy you felt it.
Super.
What?
That's super.
So you felt her, Angel.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Julia, and blessings to you, dear heart.
Thank you both.
Yes,
really,
you have
that.
A beautiful guardian angel, dear one.
Could you describe him, please?
Well, here's what he's showing me. A rather traditional angel, and you have to understand that they are energy and they don't necessarily look like this. They can show us a picture of what they wish to, what image they wish to send. But this is what I'm seeing. Very large wings. This is a very large angel, not some little cherub sitting on your shoulder. And I think he is showing me, as large as that he is, to let you know that he has great power. And so this is a very powerful angel. And I'm seeing light hair, not exactly real blonde, but like a sandy blonde, and something that I haven't noticed before. It's like a little band around his forehead, keeping the curls back. They're not real tight like ringlets, but they're kind of little bit more than wavy, and I'm seeing his hands right now. They're large, masculine hands. They're like some of the angels that I've seen shown as dainty, feminine angels. This one is showing me the very masculine side. Large hands and... What he is telling me is that he's accomplished. This one has a lot of experience, and these large hands is like ability. You know, he has this ability, and the robe he's wearing, a traditional kind of robe that you would think of an angel wearing, and what I'm seeing is is a light green, and I haven't noticed sandals on an angel before, but this one has gold sandals. She said, it's because of the rocky roads I trod.
Oh, wow. I'm sure a few of those have been with me.
What'd you say?
I said, I'm sure a few of those rocky roads have been with me.
Oh, have joy, Julia. Our blessings go to you.
Thank you both very much.
Find that path. There is a bright, shiny path in front of you that he is willing to take you on.
I'm definitely willing to go.
Did I hear you wanting to say something, Caroline?
No, I was just going to tell you goodbye and thanks for calling.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Good to hear from you again.
Yeah, good to hear from you as well. I hope you get feeling better soon.
Thank you.
You take care. Thank you both very much. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And so for others out there who may wish to share a story, who have a question, or who want to meet their angel, the number here is 877-876-5227. And Caroline, because you're not... Well, we got someone else, apparently, who wants to talk to their angels. And who's calling now?
Hi, Caroline. This is Nancy.
Oh, Nancy. Hi. We just love having you come and knock on our door. Did you have a story to share?
No, I would like to see if you can connect me with my angel.
Okay. Caroline, are you seeing an angel around Nancy?
Nancy, is there anyone in particular?
Not anyone in particular. I love it. You're seeing more than one?
Oh, yeah.
What if you got a little choir going there?
Which one do you want to hear from? Today, what kind of question do you have or
concern or thought? Hey, that might be a good idea.
Because that brings up the angel that would be dealing with that.
I think maybe about if I'm on my right path.
Now, you're talking here about a spiritual path, right?
Yeah, what my angel's helping me, trying to help me do, because I'd like to be able to hear them, but I'm not getting it.
Okay. What I'm hearing, I'm not seeing the angel at this moment, but maybe he or she will step forth. They're telling me that you hear their music.
Wow.
You have an angel there that is trying to communicate with you through music. What kind of music do you like, Nancy?
Country, western, and spiritual. I haven't been listening to too much lately.
Play one of your favorite spiritual pieces that you like. Sit in a quiet, you know, when you're by yourself sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Play one of your favorite spiritual pieces and invite this one in. You have a very musical angel.
Okay.
Very musical. Invite this angel in when you are playing the spiritual music and see what you feel. Caroline, are you getting a message other than that about Nancy's angel, or maybe another angel is speaking to you?
I'm here.
I know.
Okay. I'm getting that they're the words of some song that are supposed to be a message to you about your spiritual path, about the path that you're taking. Is there one that you can think of?
Not offhand, no.
Well, you're either going to hear it on the radio or on TV soon.
She's talking about synchronicity here, Nancy.
Right.
Okay.
And it's going to be a direct message to you, and you're going to realize when you hear it that it is a message to you. We don't usually think in terms of getting our messages through music, but since God is all and all is God, God will use whatever means it takes to get the message to us. If we're not hearing angels or not listening to the angels, because they'll talk to you. It's just a matter of if you're quiet enough to listen to them. And you do have to practice that. But they'll send you the message in the lines of a song or in a poem that you read or even in a newspaper article or a television show. It can very often be that there's a message in that for you. And it's not by accident that you've heard that sort of thing. And your angels are talking to you. You're just are you thinking that they'll sound totally different in your head than your voice?
Well, I'm thinking so because a long time, about 13 years ago, I had the experience of being at work and all of a sudden looking up, and I actually heard and saw the choir of angels.
Oh, how gorgeous.
Or, you know, what I perceived them to be. And then I started getting messages, and I started writing poetry and all this kind of stuff. And then when I got really sick, it just all disappeared. And I guess I want that back, and I haven't been able to find it. And maybe that's where the frustration is.
Were you on a lot of medications?
I was back then, yes. I had very high levels of pain, so they had me on morphine and codeine for a while. And after they got that taken care of, then I was on other lower pain meds. But right now, the only thing I take is 2 Advil once a day, and that's it. And that's just to get me through work, and then nothing else is in me.
That's what's happened. Medications interfere, unfortunately, with what we hear and see.
Right, and I think that's what I was thinking because, I really tried hard to get off of everything, and you know, like I say, I don't take anything now except for 2 liquid Advil. And on days that I don't have to take it, I don't take it.
Well, when Caroline was talking to you, Nancy, one of the things that I was hearing is that you have this musical angel with you, that there is some healing that they can help you with through music.
Okay.
And I would play especially the spiritual music, because that they're going to be on some of the tunes that will be more conducive to and soothing to healing.
Uh-huh.
And I would ask, when you do this, ask your angels to be with you. You're ready for healing. There is an aspect there that music and your angels can help you with regards to healing. Tune into that.
Uh-huh.
Anything you want to add to that, Caroline, before we finish with Nancy?
the other thing is that you, if you're interested in getting rid of all the medications and the toxins from your body, call me at 540-586-2401. It will set up an appointment.
Okay.
And we'll get the toxins being released from your body so that you can go back to hearing more clearly what the angels are saying and singing to you.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Have a
ladies.
Better day, Nancy.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Okay.
Bless you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Well, before Nancy came on, I was going to ask for you to give your telephone number because we weren't doing healings today, but then you just did it.
So now it's your turn to do telephone numbers. Or
well,
website, as it is.
I love it. I was going to suggest to people to go to carolynevers.com and look at the information there, Journey to the Other Side, because what the masters are giving by way of these monthly installments, I think, is outstanding. And it's really worthwhile people to subscribe to that. It's a 10-month series of messages that I send to people in beautiful e-books. And they are messages that you really haven't heard before. And when people sign up for it, they get an autographed copy of Conversations with Caesar, free for doing that as my gift to them. So back
fantastic.
To yes, it is. Back to angels. We were talking about the guardian angel who is with people all the time, and they're with them because memory has been cut when we came down to this dimension, and so we have that one guardian angel that stays with us all the time as our companion because of that. And then the cherubim tell us that angels, the other angels outside of our guardian angel, change as our needs change. That's why I thought that was so cute, because you said, which angel do you want to talk to? So we have more than
we
one.
We have lots of them. Unfortunately, it takes a lot of them to keep up with us.
Unfortunately, you got that one right. So some angels have more experience in the human realm with the particular stages that we move through. So what the cherubim are telling us is that as we move through these different stages in life, that we might go through different challenges where a loved one dies, for instance. And so a special angel is going to be assigned to us who has that kind of experience of working with an individual who is facing that challenge. And so I would suggest to students, for instance, who have to take tests when they study, ask for those angels to come forth that can work with them with their studies and with tests. You know, sometimes when people take a test, they become anxious about it and forget what they studied. Well, working with angels and actually music. You know, scientists have found that people working with some classical music, like some of Mozart's pieces in particular, is wonderful for memory. And when you take tests, that studying, listening to that music helps retain the information. So just the thought that our different stages that we go through and the kind of experiences that we have, ask for that angel who works with that particular field of endeavor to come and help us. I know you do that, Caroline. I love that story about your mechanical angel.
And I've got a plumbing angel, too, let me tell you.
You got a plumbing angel.
Yeah. I live in a house that was built in 1779. You need a plumbing angel, an electrical angel. You need lots of friends.
So another question, because I didn't ask too many questions. I didn't have time to get to too many questions of the different angels, but these are just some thoughts I wanted to bring to people on the show. Another idea that came into mind is people who suffer from a disability. Are there special angels who work with these souls? And I knew that the answer was going to be yes.
Of course.
And what I was told, though, is that there are some angels who ask for that kind of an assignment, which I thought was interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, that that they want to work with somebody who has a disability for many reasons, such as the reasons as to broaden their own experience, or they had some success in the past with another person who was disabled, and they feel this great compassion for them and are inclined to help individuals who have disabilities. And sometimes even the person who had the disability didn't rise to their full accomplishment, and so they're even more determined to see that they can help the next one around. So I thought that was fascinating, that some of the angels actually ask for that duty, for that assignment, to work with a disabled person.
Wow. That's fantastic.
I always love going to the cherubim and asking about angels, because I always get something that I wasn't expecting.
Exactly. Oh. Or something, and you always get something you didn't know.
Always. Well, I guess if I, you know, those symbols that I have all of my information in sometimes aren't very large. Anyway, my friends who are out there listening to our conversation, we're on the second hour of our time with you today. Don't sit back and just listen. Pick up your phone. Give us a call, 877-876-5227. And I can tell you what happens. People sit back and listen, and all of a sudden they get an urge to call, and then the line's busy. So call us now while the line's not busy. And if you're from Canada, it's 877-810-8322. Call in and tell us about all the snow that you're having. Might make me feel a little better. Knowing that other people are having snow, too. Sort of like a little shared companionship here.
Right. I've seen angels in the snow, too.
Humans lying down, flapping their arms, or real angels?
Real angels.
What are they doing in the snow?
Romping, they just said.
What are they doing?
Romping.
Rolfing?
No, romp. R-O-M-P.
Oh, okay. Romping. See, this is your little southern accent here.
Well, that plus the fact that my throat is making me sound so funny.
You know, thank them for that, because it's something that we forget about sometimes, is just how lighthearted and happy that they are.
Oh, they are. They're just really... They just really are so happy, and they love fun, and, you know, they love to dance and romp in the snow and hide in the clouds. And they really, you know, they just really know the value of not being so serious that you lose sight of the fact that you're supposed to be also having fun. And
yeah, I know some people who should be calling in their fun angels.
I think so, too. And almost everybody's got one. sometimes I'll see them turning somersaults in front of them. Or sometimes I'll see them dressed up like the Joker or a juggler or something. They're doing all kinds of things trying to get people to lighten up and relax and enjoy themselves, because when God created us, what he really intended for us to do was enjoy this experience. And a lot of us forget to enjoy this experience.
Gee, we need to send ourselves a telegram to that effect, don't we?
Uh-huh, we do. And, yes. You know,
this is an order. Enjoy this experience.
That's right. That was, I bought the letters J-O-Y from a catalog company. Big ones. They're like 20 inches tall, and they're gilded.
Mm-hmm.
And I put them over my sideboard in the dining room
mm-hmm.
to remind us every day to be in joy. And I love it. It just makes me smile every time I see the word.
You know, that is so true. We take ourselves rather seriously at times.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of serious things going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to fall into that, isn't it?
It is. I think it is.
And so we kind of have to make a special effort, don't we, to be in joy.
Oh, absolutely, and I definitely call in my angels and say, okay, I need a fun day today,
mm-hmm.
you know, or I need a fun afternoon or something like that. It really, and it's amazing because it's like they just swing into action and all of a sudden somebody will call you up on the phone and say, oh, let's go, you know, climb the mountain, or let's go down to the lake and sit on the dock and swish our feet in the water or something. Just something fun and relaxing and that sort of thing. We all need those things.
We do, but you know what, when you were saying that, what came to my mind is how powerful thought is.
Yes.
And, you know, they tell us to watch our thoughts and not think of things that we really don't want to materialize in our world.
That's right.
But that's the blueprint, our mm-hmm. thoughts. It's what brings things into our life that we're going to experience.
Yeah, so if you don't like what you're experiencing, change your thoughts.
Yes. Interesting.
And call in the angels that have to do with that change. Because they'll make sure it happens.
You know, I haven't thought about that kind of angel. Let's discuss
ask
that
the
a little bit.
There are angels that do that.
Well, I'm sure that there are. It's just I didn't consider it. So we want... If we want to make change in our life, then we want to ask for some help from angels who understand change.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that is part of that is helping us to prepare our hearts so we can accept change.
I'm sure.
Well, we have somebody that buzzed our line, and who is this?
Hi, how are you? I'm Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Calling from New York.
Wonderful.
Good deal.
A little chilly here.
Probably as chilly as it is here. Freezing there?
It's kind of freezing, yeah.
Yeah, we got this blast from the north.
Yep.
Well, Joe, are you calling in to share a story with us?
Actually, I am, and maybe you get a little
Good.
Insight.
All right.
About 5 or 6 years ago, or maybe a little bit more, I, for the first time in my life, saw a medium.
You saw a medium, okay.
She was very talented. My father had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me in the session that I should read a book called The Messengers about a fellow named Nick Bunick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story about his angelic happenings that came into his life. He was a businessman. Mm-hmm. And one of the signs that were given to the people around him and him were surrounding the number 444. People would be woken up at 444. The clocks would stop at 444. And about 6 months after reading the book, I was in a very deep sleep, and I thought I was woken up by my dog, and my digital clock in my bedroom said 4:44 a.m.
I love it.
And this has happened to me and many, many times since then. It's not a coincidence. It can't be. And, in fact, one night I got up, came out and fell asleep on the couch in the living room. We have a cable box over the TV, and I was in a deep sleep. Felt a kind of tingling down my spine that woke me up, and it was 4:44 on the cable box.
I love it. That's great.
So I hear you have this angel show, and I thought I would share that. I don't know if you have any insights for me about that.
Why that particular number or numbers in general?
Well, that I see 111 a lot, but that particular number, I mean, I guess it is equated with, only because I read the book, Angel Wake-Ups.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of something like that?
Are you aware that people are reporting different numbers that they're seeing? In other words, some people are seeing 222.
Yes.
Some people are seeing 1111.
Right. I see that a lot.
Yes, and so there's different sequences of numbers that people are seeing, and what I'm hearing from the cherubim is that all of these numbers are a call for attention. It's like a synchronicity, but it's like a wake-up call.
Right.
And people are going to see different numbers, and it has to do with your astrological makeup when you came into the planet and your numerical and astrological numbers. And what they're telling me, it's not that it is a specific number that works for everyone, but the individual number that's going to resonate with you personally. I suspect that reading the book and being, how shall we say this, not exactly programmed, but suggested that that was the number that you were going to resonate to,
right.
that resonated to you in that manner.
Right.
But I think right now, energetically, people are seeing many different numbers. And do you ever listen to Alison Bowman?
No.
She's a radio host, Visible by the Numbers.
Okay.
Sometime when you have time, tune into her show. She is great. And if you're so inclined, call into her and ask her about these different numbers.
Okay.
She's might give you some insight to it. But what I'm hearing, Joe, from many people is right now, many people are seeing sequences of numbers. They're different numbers, and different people, there's a couple things going on here as I see it. Different energies are carrying different numbers, and so I have noticed that when specific energies have come to this planet, they're carrying a certain vibration, and people are seeing a certain set of numbers. I think it's like a wake-up call as to what has happened.
Right.
And I think some people have their own personal number that was like implanted in them to wake them up. I don't think we're all seeing the same number.
Right, but it's a signal, and there's an antenna within us to pick it up. And
yes.
I mean, I get the feeling, there's no doubt in my mind, that somebody's knocking at the door.
Have you answered the door, Joe?
Well, I've tried to. I mean, I find,
that's
know,
the hard part, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not quite sure, you know, what my role is or what, you know, why they're knocking on the door, let's put it that, other than to say hello.
Now, I really don't think they knock on the door to say hello. I think this is a time when light workers everywhere are being awakened. Archangel Michael in particular is working very hard to awaken people, because this is a point in time when we have been promised that we are to awaken from the sleep. In other words, we came into this world, and one of the decisions that we accepted, it was a game. Sure doesn't seem like a game, though, but apparently when we took this room, it seemed like it was going to be great fun,
right,
to come into this world without memory and to remember our commitment and love of God, even in the midst of having us forget everything.
Right.
And so we were promised at a certain point that we were going to be awakened and from this sleep of this deep sleep that we had gone under. And so this is what's happening right now. They are coming and they are awakening us.
Do you think that this period of forgetfulness, if you will,
good term,
is what's caused so many people to turn to pain-relieving medications and other I mean, there seems to be a gap in people's souls as we're here, and they don't remember, and they don't remember the connection.
I think people are in pain by that.
I think they feel isolated almost.
Yes. There is an isolation, no doubt about it. You hit the nail right on the head. There
and
is
I think
an
when
isolation.
I've spoken to people about the 444s, and they think maybe I'm a little nuts, but knowing that there's this connection is less isolating.
Mm-hmm.
True. And I would like to suggest that when you are awakened and see the number, or when you're in a place where you can do this, that you go into meditation and visualize the door in front of you.
Right.
And take the handle and open the door.
Okay.
Okay, and when you open the door, then you're going to get a message about yourself and where you are on your path. You're always on the right path. It doesn't matter which path you choose, it's always the right path.
Mm-hmm.
Because you choose your path, and you're going to get to the place that you're meant to be, whether you choose path number 1, 2, 3, 4, or 2 zillion.
Right.
You're going to get to the place that you need to be. So you're always in the right place at the right time. But to get more of a message about yourself and your purpose, if you take the handle and open the door and walk through the door, you're going to have a very, very beautiful experience of yourself and what your true purpose is.
I'm sensing that Joe is very intuitive and he hasn't accepted that yet. I don't think you've awakened your intuitive nature, Joe.
Right.
Do you feel that you're intuitive?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you practice with that in any way?
Not really in a disciplined way, no.
Well, here's a couple things that you can do. When the telephone rings, before you answer it, see if you get some sense of who's on the other line.
Right.
Calling you.
Good idea.
Set these as an example of that. set these little things up, because the more, in other words, I'm just using, you have a certain friend that's calling you, and the phone rings, and you have this sense that it is that person, and you pick up the phone, and it is that person. It strengthens your belief in your ability. And the more you strengthen the belief in your ability, and the more that you use it, the more you open up. So play little games like that with yourself.
Gotcha.
You know, you hear you're at work, and you hear somebody coming up the steps. Think about who that person might be. And when you start, when these things start coming to you, then see if you can get the message of what that person was going to say to you. And so you build on this. But I think that you are a very intuitive person who needs to wake up to that inner strength that you have right now.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Do you have any sense of any of your previous lifetimes?
Not particularly.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Yes, I do. I remember a lot of them. And let me give you a few hints as to how to... there are things that are emotionally charged. For instance, I saw a movie just the other day that had to do with the fall in Jerusalem, and I can't think of the name of it, but it was the fall of Jerusalem, and it was as I was watching that, I was getting so agitated, and things that I was disagreeing with in the film, you know, it didn't happen that way.
Right.
And my blood pressure went up. I had to turn the movie off. And I knew right away that I had a connection with that. And so I sat and I started thinking about that, you know, who I was, what I was doing, and it was coming back to me. Because there was something there that needed to be cleared. And it was the pain and the fear of that death that needed to be cleared. Now, you were talking about isolation. Yes, I think this is a time when people are feeling isolated, but I also think that these things are coming up and we're not facing them and allowing them and clearing them. We're not allowing that these energies to be cleared from our emotional body. And so I think some of that, not all of it, but some of it, is people are moving to drugs because
right.
They become afraid and they're trying to mask their symptoms.
Right, exactly.
So work with those a little, Joe. I think that is part of our awakening. And there is some fear surrounding the awakening of psychic abilities. And the reason that there is a fear for that is because many times in the past we have been persecuted for our psychic abilities. I know I've been burned at the stake a couple times.
That's funny.
And I know that I've been murdered for it.
Right.
Because when you had psychic abilities in the past, other people were afraid of that. In other words, you might know something about them that they didn't want told.
Right.
And you know, we've been through a lot of dark times in our history, and so people who've had psychic abilities, they were done away with many times.
Right. Well, I appreciate that.
Joe, you've
yes.
got an angel sitting behind you.
Oh, yeah.
He sat down because we were taking so much time. He was standing. He even took his halo off and polished it while we were talking. And I kept watching him. He had this cute little grin on his face, like, okay, ladies, is anybody going to tell him that he has an angel? So I want you to know that your guardian angel is with you all the time. And this is definitely a masculine angel. They are not really male or female, but they have a masculine energy or a feminine energy. And he has definitely got a masculine energy. He's your guardian angel, so he's been with you for a very long time.
Right.
And he just said, and he might say that he saved your life several times.
Oh, Joe's a busy one, huh?
Uh-huh. You kept your angel busy.
Right.
Do you sing, Carolyn?
No, I wasn't tuning into it. I was
okay.
I was tuning into Joe's abilities. He has psychic abilities that is ready to be developed.
Right.
Not developed. They're ready to be acknowledged. That's a better way of putting it.
And that's why. And that's one of the things this guardian angel's doing. He's basically trying to get you to pay attention to the numbers and then make the next step, which is to open the door so that you can get the message about your abilities, your gifts, and learn how to use those.
As a service?
Pardon me?
To serve others, obviously.
Yes, yes. At some point, are you Catholic, Joe?
I was raised, but I'm...
You're what like, now?
He was raised Catholic.
I would say Christian one.
Okay, well, he's dressed in the dark brown of the Franciscan.
Right.
Because you have been a Franciscan nun several times in your past lifetimes. And so the angel has also been a Franciscan nun. But what he's saying is that he's been a Franciscan angel. So he has attended to Franciscan monks. Did I say nuns?
Yeah.
I have to say monks.
Okay.
Okay. Interesting.
So I was a monk?
Carolyn, are you understanding his name? I don't understand what he's saying.
I wasn't listening to that. What I was seeing was the lack of a haircut, etc. I don't know what they call this, Joe. You might be familiar with this. There was a time when these monks had like a shaven head that little crown of hair. I don't even know what you call it, but I think you know what I'm talking about, don't
you?
Mm-hmm.
No, you were answering that, Caroline, but I didn't know if Joe... Do you know what I mean, Joe?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing me that picture. And he's showing me this was what you looked like. Got the brown habit with the white belt, the cincture, with the three knots in it. You were a companion of, you were a companion of St. Francis of Assisi.
Yeah, I was getting that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you actually served, if you want to call it that, with St. Francis of Assisi.
A close relationship.
Right. It's funny.
Do you have a sense of that, Joe? I bet you do, don't
Well,
you?
I have to tell you, I've read a few books on him, and the statue next to my father's grave is St. Francis of Assisi.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird?
Um, I see you take in that lifetime, taking in stray animals and caring for them. It was one of the things that you did with St. Francis.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they, you know, fed homeless people too, but you, like St. Francis, loved the animals. And you knew how to, not only did you love the animals, but you knew how to communicate with animals. You could do that now if you so chose.
Right.
You could open up that ability, because once we have learned an ability, we don't really forget it.
Right.
There was this, you learned a lot. Not only did you learn a lot from that lifetime, but you gained a lot from that lifetime. Being with St. Francis put a great, I want to say mark on your soul, but it's not exactly a mark on your soul per se. What it really is, the cherubim are showing me your records, your Akashic records.
Right.
You gained in that lifetime, and they've opened your book, and all of this light is streaming out. And they're putting this, they're pointing to this line in the book. You gained greatly in that lifetime because of your compassion, not only for animals, but for humanity. And I see St. Francis is standing in front of the Pope at that time, and you are at St. Francis' side. You were supporting his efforts. You probably know this better than I do, since you've read a book. You're aware of the fact that he went to the Pope to plead for, I don't want to say better charity, you know, for to make certain that there were better lives led.
Right, and that was his whole purpose, sure.
Yes, and I see you standing on next to St. Francis. You were his support. You were, and so the work that you did with St. Francis is recorded in your book.
Oh.
And, like I said, what I see is this great light coming out of your records. And somehow I suspect that what you did then is what is connected to this lifetime. Oh, Joe, you've got so many good things ahead of you, dear one. If you are so inclined, go to my website at carolyneversat.com and look at that Akashic reading site and see if you're so inclined to ask for a reading.
Right.
In May.
Okay.
But what beautiful history you have, Joe.
Thank you.
And I finally understood your guardian angel's name.
Uh-huh.
It's Bartholomew, but he told me that in light of our abbreviations, you could just call him Bart.
Okay.
Oh, yes. He sounds like you've got a real key. You've got a real hip guardian angel here.
Oh,
guardian
he does. I know. He's like.
That's funny.
Oh, Joe, bless you, dear.
He has a very good sense of humor. Not only is he your protector, but he has a very good sense of humor. So that's wonderful.
I like that polishing his hair while he's waiting for the women to get done talking.
Okay, ladies, it's my turn.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for calling, Joe.
Have a good day.
Blessings to you.
I've got that image of Bart standing there polishing his hair, waiting for us to get done talking. Oh, that's That's a riot.
Isn't that? I thought that was so cute. Couldn't believe he was doing it. I kept thinking, I'm going to burst out in the laughter and have to push the mute button here because he's got a real character.
I love stories like that. My golly, that is so cute. My friends, we're coming up on the last half hour, and if you wanted to talk to us, if you want to be connected to your angel, if you want to know anything about your Akashic record, you better pick up that telephone or else you're going to be out in the cold. 877-876-5227. Now, don't trip while you run to your phone.
And we need to remind Joe that all he has to do is call on Bart. Bart will be there to help him with whatever he needs.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever.
Anybody who polishes his halo has to be a good guy.
I know. Oh, that was so cute. I hope he's doing that.
And if you're from Canada, it's 888-810-8322. That was a funny story, Caroline. I love it.
I did too. I could not tell you because, okay, Carolyn's got to stop with this because we got to tell her about this guardian angel or tell Joe about him.
Well, that's why I like you riding shotgun with me because you get things that I don't get, right? Well, I was too busy looking at that St. Francis time. I mean, that was just so beautiful.
Oh, it was beautiful. And I had seen that before I saw the guardian angel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had seen that scene, so I knew he had served with St. Francis, and I was going to start talking about that next, and then you saw it too, so that worked out well.
Well, something that I wanted to talk about, mention, and didn't, but I can say it now, was St. Francis of Assisi was also Master Kasumi.
Yes.
Yep. Which is another beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. Another beautiful being.
Yes, yes. Or
actually, same being, but new program.
New program.
Right.
One of these little things I didn't get to when we were talking about angels is I asked the cherubim, what's the difference between an angel and a guide? Now, I know all you know, but I thought, we've got 15 minutes here, so I'll discuss this a little. And so what the cherubim said is that a guide, for the most part, had a lifetime on Earth in human form. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, angels did not, though that sometimes is not accurate. Because
right.
We know that we've had some angels that have taken on missions and come to Earth and actually take on a bodily form.
Right, and then they return to the angelic realm.
Matter of fact, there's on my website at thatakashicreading.com, there is a beautiful story about the Templars. And if people are interested in angels, they might want to read those two stories that I have there about the Templars because it talks about angels that came during the time of Atlantis, cherubim angels who came during the time of Atlantis and incarnated here because of the vibrational decrease that humanity had fallen in their vibrational attainment. And the cherubim came to help keep the planet together. The Elohim called them because they weren't sure just how bad that damage was going to be here. So that's a real interesting story for people
heard that.
Yeah, that it is. It's a beautiful story. And so angels have reincarnated. As a rule, they stay on, at least this is what the cherubim are telling us, that they stay on the side doing angelic work, but there are times when some angels have incarnated into human flesh. And they came because they were working with particular energies, or sometimes they came and were trapped because of historical challenges. there are some angels who have worked here and have become trapped, and now they've got to work their way out like humanity does. So that's kind of difficult for them.
I'm sure. Very difficult to be here if you're an angel.
Oh, yeah.
Our vibration rate is so much heavier than theirs. Our energy is so much heavier.
Yes, it's not a fun thing.
Mm-mm.
So, Caroline,
thank you, angels, for working. Thank you, angels, for working with us.
I wonder if they ever get tired of working with us. You know, they work so hard, and sometimes we just don't listen.
Well, but you know, sometimes they don't work very hard. Some people don't call them.
Let's talk about that for a moment, since you got a second breath. You got a second wind here, Caroline.
I got a cough drop.
Is that what it is?
I wandered off of my headphones on and got a cough drop so I could talk.
Okay, sometimes our angels really work hard for us and other times they don't. So tell us a story about that.
Well, that has to do with what we were talking about. They really can't help us. Now, the guardian angels are a bit different because they're main mission or goal, if you want to call it that, is to be guardians, to be protectors. And they can be protectors whether we call on them to protect us or not, because that's their job. But for some of the others, you know, if we don't call on them, they don't do anything.
And they're not too happy with nothing to do. They
no.
don't want to sit around twiddling their thumbs.
Well, and, you know, the other thing is that, of course, I'm sure you know this, but there's a hierarchy of angels. And so, you know, you may start out on the bottom rung of the hierarchy, and you'd like to move up to do other work. And if nobody calls on you, you can't really move up the ladder too well.
So you can't prove yourself.
You can't. That's right. You have to have that experience from being a first-time angel and get that experience, and then, you know, you're allowed by the angelic board to move up into a different job description. That's part of why you don't have the same angels all the time.
Sounds like a busy place.
Yes, it is. I had a client one time who told me she didn't want any first-time angels.
She wanted the experienced ones.
She said, I want experienced angels.
Well, Caroline, I'm going to tell that little story about the cherubs, because I'm sure we've got
some new people
out there who didn't hear that. But before I do, why don't you give your telephone number out, since we haven't been able to do healing today because of your voice. There might be some people who are interested in calling you for healing.
Okay. That would be 540-586-2401. And I do work from 9 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern Standard Time. And I reserve 4 to 5 for emergencies. And after that, you'll get my answering machine, and you might get my answering machine if I'm on the phone. We'll call you back and make an appointment.
That's great.
Yeah.
And I would like to mention on my website, CarolynEvers.com, and Carolyn spelled C-A-R-O-L-Y-N. I say that because I've had some people couldn't find it because they were misspelling Carolyn. Because there are different ways that you can spell it.
Right.
And Conversations with Caesar is an incredible book. It's information that Caesar gave to me, our conversation, where after he was assassinated, it talks all about the world that he woke up to, where he had been for the 2,000 years from then to now, what he had learned, what it was like to die, reasons why he lived his life a certain way, and what he had to do while he was in the Bardo to make up for it. It's an incredible book. And in that book, his mother talks about what it was like to die, and there's some really great insights as to what she and her husband do on the other side. And there's the story of Caesar's mother. Augustus Caesar comes in and talks some. And I was really surprised. Then I fell off my chair when Brutus came and talked about the reasons why he assassinated Caesar. So if you like things Roman, you will enjoy conversations with Caesar. And even if you're just interested about these progressions between life and death, you'd be interested. So, since we don't have someone else calling at the moment at 877-876-5227, I'll tell this little story about the cherubs because I was so enthralled with that. I had gone to the cherubim and a couple different shows. We were talking about different angels and the sort of things that the different angels did. And I was so taken up with the story about the little cherubs and what their function was with the human race. And their job is working with newborn infants. And the cherubim told me this story, how when souls are on the other side, the kind of music there is so beautiful. And this is what the soul is exposed to, this melodic sounds that they hear on the other side. And so this new soul or this soul comes down to be reincarnated. And the sounds here on this plane are so discordant to them. And they have a hard time adjusting to the sights, the sounds, the lights. And babies sleep a lot during that period of time from when they're newborns. And they are actually in the two worlds, so to speak. Part of the time they're spending in that other world, and part of the time their soul is in this world because it's such an adjustment for them. And so the cherubim said that these little cherubs come with these little newborn infants and they sing to them. I just loved that thought. I could just see this little cherub coming with this little this soul into this little newborn body and being this companion and singing to them. And I can remember my own children, how they'd be asleep and all of a sudden that they would smile and I would have people say, oh, that's just a little bit of indigestion. I knew that wasn't indigestion. And when I heard that story about the cherubs, I was just envisioning this little newborn infant being able to see these little cherubs, hearing their melodic sounds, and smiling. So the next time you look into the face of a newborn, and they got their eyes closed, and they're just laying there with this little smile, just envision this little cherub on the other side singing to them. It'll tickle your little heartstrings.
Definitely. I think that's beautiful.
I know. I love that story. And then we have about 2 minutes here, Caroline, and since we got to talk about something for 2 minutes, I'll talk about the angels that, you know the one I'm going to tell, how the angels play music to those souls transitioning.
Yeah, that was really fascinating because I help transition people, and I've never heard the music before, but as you and I said, I guess it's because I'm not transitioning myself.
Well, I'm not planning to listen to that for a while yet.
Me either. But isn't that wonderful that they play that music?
Yes.
Oh, it's beautiful. They did let me hear a little bit of it.
Would you say?
They did let me hear a little bit of it.
What, just now?
No, when I was helping somebody transition the other night, I woke up and I was hearing the music, a little bit of it.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, wow.
And so what the cherubim said is that these two groups of angels are, in a sense, related to one another. They work with one another because they understand what the soul needs when they're moving between the dimensions. And so I think this is a wonderful thought. We've got these little cherubs coming with us when we come into form, and then when it is time to transition, there is another group that is there ministering us, that is singing to us, that is leading us into the next dimension. And I just think that's a beautiful thought.
I do too. I think that's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. So wonderful. I see the light, but I didn't realize there was music too. That's beautiful.
Oh, tell me about that, Caroline. We've got another minute here. Tell me about the light that you see when you've helped people cross into the next dimension. What's that like?
Well, it's almost, I've heard people describe it as a tunnel, that you go through a tunnel and mm-hmm. you see this light at the end of the tunnel. I really see the entire tunnel is made up of light,
mm-hmm.
and the light is God's beautiful golden light, and it surrounds and comforts whoever is leaving, and yet it's not really... It's not really just like it's a solitary tunnel and there's only one of them. There are lots and lots of portals that open up so that people can go to the light. And I really prefer to say go with the light. Now, there are people who don't believe in that. And some religious groups don't believe that you go with light. So when that's the case, if you believe in God, then usually the angels will take you far enough that you yourself see the light and know to go ahead and go. And if not, they'll help you transition. Or people like me who help people go to the other side will take you across to the other side, because once you're on the other side, the love is so vast and so filling and so comfortable and so loving that you're so joyful to be there.
Caroline, we got to go right now, but hey, I love that topic. Maybe the next time we could touch on the portals and what it's like to transition.
Okay.
So
we'll
for all
see.
Those friends out there, this is Carolyn Evers and
Caroline Allen.
See you next
who'll
time
be
in 2 weeks.
Better voice next week.
Okay.
Thank you,
bye.
Carolyn. Bye. Bye, everybody. Blessings.